I'm Dr. K.Wise Whitehead, here again to have a conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Now, I have to say some, folks, because there's so much happening around the world. There's so much happening in this country. There's so much happening in this city. And there's so much happening in your community that we cannot even hope to get to all of it. But we can tackle some of the stories that matter. Today is my favorite day of the week because it's time for the weekly wrap. It's the one day out of the week that Justina and I, we throw out the script. We just sit around with Dre Day, our audio engineer, and we talk about some stories that we've been thinking about, things that we've talked about with our family, things that we've shared with our children, things that have just kind of caught our attention, and we invite you to do the same. Now, if you've never participated in our weekly wrap, perhaps this is your first time listening to Today with Dr. K. First, let me welcome you to the Today with Dr. K family, folks, helping you to understand that if it has your ear, it definitely has my attention. I love to have the communication. I love to talk about things that matter. On Wednesday, we invite listeners to call in and tell us some of the things you've been thinking about. The way I see it, it's similar to maybe what happened to you on Sunday when you did your big Easter family dinner. Everybody came together, grandma and grandpa, you had aunts and uncles, and there were all kind of conversations flying around the living room, and you could not possibly keep up. So you came in and out of the conversations that mattered to you. It's similar to that. It may sound confusing. We only do it one day of the week. Well, we can have a conversation about the mayor, and the next caller can switch gears, and we can talk about what's happening with the water. And then the next caller can switch gears, and we can talk about what's happening with the school systems. That is what is allowed to happen during the weekly wrap. We don't go deep, we go wide, right? So it's more about, you know, width than about depth on Wednesday. So let me tell you some of the potential topics that are up for discussion today. I'm just wondering, at this point, should Baltimore City Mayor Catherine Pugh, who has taken an indefinite leave of absence because of her pneumonia, should she come back to work? I mean, acting mayor or ex officio mayor Jack Young just fired three of her top aides. I'm wondering if girlfriend should even attempt to come back to work. That's one thing that we can potentially put on the table. Another thing that might be of interest to you, Governor Hogan is actually thinking about running for president of the United States. I'm not sure if that is a good idea, folks. I want something completely different. And by different, I want that is not white, a president that is male, a president that is not family advantaged. I don't want someone who knows how to play games with the same people over and over and over again. I want to go radical. I want to go different. I want a black woman as president. I want a brown man as president. I mean, I want to go radical and different. So should Governor Hogan toss his hat into the ring, which means he's tossing it in to do something that's fun, folks. He's to toss it in the ring to challenge the sitting president, who unfortunately is experiencing very high approval ratings among the people that already love him. Those of us who have a problem with having an insane man sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue do not love him. But the Trumpeteers, his base, they're loving him more now than ever. The wilder he gets, the more conservative he gets, the more rhetoric he spouts against people of color, against women, against children, they love him more. So maybe we need Governor Hogan just to come in, just to kind of mix some things up, split the vote a little bit so that Kamala Harris can come on through, so that Cory Booker can come on through, so that Elizabeth Warren can come on through. Let's talk about it. That's something else I want to throw on the table. A couple of the things that I've been thinking about. There is a principal in Houston, black woman, mind you, who is making headlines because girlfriend has drawn a line in the sand. She has informed parents, don't show up at my school in your rollers, your curlers, don't wear your house robes, your slippers. I don't want torn jeans at my school. She has now implemented dress code for parents. Yes, folks, you heard that right. If you want to go pick up your kids at this particular school, you need to be dressed right. In fact, she says it's like dressing for the prom. Now, I wore a ball gown to the prom, so I'm not sure what she's talking about, but she says she wants parents dressed up when they come into her school because it's embarrassing to the children and it's offensive to the teachers. Now, should a school have a dress code for their parents? Folks, when I roll up to drop my son off, and if it's one of those days when I can go back home and get in bed, I am not dressing to take my kids to school. But maybe we need to have a dress code. I'm just throwing that out. I have a couple other stories I'm just kind of putting out on the table. Again, you call and talk about what interests you. These are just some of the big headlines of the day. A fourth story that I saw that was quite interesting is that the students at Georgetown University down in Washington, D.C., since the university is moving so slow on this reparations thing, the students have decided to tax themselves. No, you've heard that right. The students are willing to pay, I think it's like $27 more in their student fees to be able to cover some reparations for some of the families that were enslaved by Georgetown University. Think about that. They're saying, you know what? If you won't tackle reparations, we're willing to do it. So should all of these businesses, the ones that have profited off the free enslaved labor of black bodies for hundreds of years, should they go ahead and tax themselves and maybe we can get reparations rolling? A couple other things on the table. It's day two of the Dante Harris trial. Things are moving along. It's this week that one of the men that dragged James Byrd Jr. to his death. Remember that happened 20 years ago? He's scheduled to be executed this week. And there are a number of folks, black folks included, who are saying that's not going to work, that you don't tackle murder with murder. So what? He should stay alive and continue to sit up in jail and we pay for it? I don't know. I'm just putting it on the table. And two other stories that might be of some interest to you. A 70-year-old man in Baltimore was beaten and robbed after Easter Sunday Mass by three teenagers. What is happening in this city? And down in D.C., just a stone's throw away, two things caught my attention. One is that the Washington, D.C. cops had the nerve, had the audacity to handcuff a 9-year-old boy. I saw the video, folks. 9-year-old African-American child. He was leaning against the car. The police officer, who was not a person of color, a PNOC, I don't know if he wanted him to move or that the child couldn't lean against the car. When the little boy runs in a circle around the cop grabs him, handcuffs him, puts him up against the car. He is screaming and crying. All of a sudden, 3-4 more cops show up. It's a 9-year-old child, folks. And I don't mean like a large, it's a 9-year-old baby. They handcuffed this young brother because he said that he felt that the child was out of control. So if my son is laughing and you are an adult, he's not doing anything wrong, your solution is to handcuff him? The other thing is on Tuesday, coming up this Tuesday at 12 o'clock, 100 black women are planning to convene in Washington, D.C. on the steps of the Capitol. Angela Davis is speaking. Patrice Cullors is speaking. Barbara Ramsey is speaking. I'm going to be up in the house standing in white to stand with Ilhan. Black women are taking it on themselves to stand with our sister. Those are some of the topics that I'm thinking about. 410-319-8888. Give me a call. And while you're thinking of your topics, why don't we go ahead and play Kayopoly? Now, I did something that makes me excited because you told me Kayopoly was too easy. That's what you said. You said Kayopoly is too easy. You need to stump us. Well, folks, if you've never played Kayopoly before, it's the hottest game. I'm not going to say just in Baltimore City. I'm going to say it's the hottest game in the country. Justina's shaking her head. Yes, it's the hottest game in the country. And what you do is we have put together a compilation of clips, and you've got to be able to name both the singer and the song in order to win today's prize. And today's prize is a copy of August Wilson's book, Fences. I did something that made me so excited. I went and I got clips from boy bands and girl groups. So we're doing something a little bit different. We'll go ahead and we'll play the boy bands first, which is 6515. I'm going to throw it on the table. Give us a call, name the group, and you got to name the song. Go ahead and play it, Dre.
When I had you to myself, I didn't want you around.
For today. Now it's boy bands, and in the second hour I'm going with girl power. For the second hour, I want to welcome all the folks on Facebook Live. Stell Walker has already chimed in. Stell says, good afternoon. I agree with the principal, but it does seem a bit blatant. Well, Stell, who is she talking to? Hair curl is torn jeans. She said, I don't want to see any underwear showing. Who is she talking to? 410-319-8888. I have Professor Marvin Perry on the line from Morgan State University. Professor Perry, how are you, sir?
Hello, hello. How are you, Dr.
I'm doing well, so happy to have you join us.
Yes, yes. I just want to thank you for having me on. And, you know, I always start off with the word education.
Education
is the key. So, yes. You know, in order for us to see change in society, we do need to see different faces, and leadership is all about that. So when you say that we need to see a different face in leadership, yes, we do. President of the United States, would be great to have a woman as president.
Yes.
African-American woman, or if it's a Caucasian or Asian woman, or Hispanic. We need to see a diversity in how we look at problems and how we solve issues. So I want to thank you for bringing that out. But at the same time, we don't want to forget that we do have some folks who may be running that have experience, like Biden,
who has
some experience. And so to me, anyone that has more experience than the person that's there, that's so important for us.
Well, let me ask you this, Professor Perry. Do you think, because a lot of people are saying, in order, just to be clear, in order to beat the white man we have in office, we need another white man to beat the white man that we currently have?
I think that's just people being afraid and not knowing the power that other people bring to the table. I think until we hear the issues and what people stand for, we can't make those predictions. It's definitely too early to say that, a woman can't run for president, because we have two great women who are thinking about it. And so we need to hear the issues and compare them to what's already on the table. And those issues, if they can satisfy the needs of the country, of course they need to be considered to be the front runner. It's about issues, not about gender, not about race. It's about satisfying the issues.
And getting rid of student loans. I'm just going to throw that in. Professor Perry, thank you so much, sir. We have Paul on the phone from West Baltimore. Paul, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call, Dr.
Absolutely.
K. Look, the thing about it is, if we get another Caucasian president in there, then the country will go on like it's always been, you know? If we get a black woman in there, then guess what? It's going to be the same thing as it is when we put black people in these positions that can make changes and they don't do nothing. I'm sick and tired of the LGB getting theirs, the Hispanics getting theirs, everybody getting theirs but the African-American people. Now, to the young black boy who was handcuffed. That is a crying shame that they would do that. But that lets you know how they feel about Al Bailey.
Oh, yes.
That's just the way it feels. So my thing is, and I hate to feel this way, when I hear of stuff happening to Caucasians, like the old man, let's really look at how many of our old grandparents or great-great-grandparents or people back in the South that were being beaten and all kinds of stuff by young white racist people. You
right.
know, I told the story about how I went to Southern High in the early 80s. Dr. K, we were chased home by white people with chains, baseball bats, models.
Wow.
Every day we went to school, they stood outside, grown folks throwing everything at us, and the police didn't do nothing. I feared for my life going to school back in the day because that's how racist and present was over in South Baltimore.
Wow.
Now, the thing is, now that it's happening back to them, now all of a sudden we hear the white people crying out on WBOL about how an old white man got punched in the face and his car was carjacked. Yeah, it shouldn't have never happened. But come on, we can't be so, what's the word I'm looking for? So hypocrite about how we look at situations.
Right.
That's just how I feel.
All right, thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate you. We have James on the phone from Sandtown. James, how are you?
Dr. James.
Hello.
I got a topic that black media won't touch, and I can't understand why they won't say nothing about it.
Okay,
and
I'm listening.
That's the measles outbreak.
Yes.
It's so bad, it's killing people. They got a bank. They got you getting fined in New York. Why won't black media speak out on this media on this measles outbreak? Why won't we say nothing about it?
Well, we're saying something about it right now. So there is a measles outbreak. It is hitting in communities where you have a lot of anti-vaxxers who did not vaccinate their children, and they're finding that their children are now coming of age where they're coming into contact with people with the measles. At this point, 82 people brought measles into the United States from other countries in 2018. It was mostly associated with travelers who came back from Israel, where a large outbreak is occurring. So there is this measles outbreak, but it is happening in communities where you have large populations of either anti-vaxxers, but it's also happening with newborn babies who haven't been vaccinated yet.
Right. Well, it's happening in the, just let's keep it real, it's happening in the Jewish community.
Yes, it is. And you know, they're doing all kind of movements now in order to vaccinate.
The question is, why is it happening? Why didn't the Jewish community get vaccinated? That should be the question on hand. Let me give you my personal opinion.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of Jewish doctors out there, and they told their people, don't touch that. Don't get this measles shot.
Okay.
And see, we couldn't do that in the black community. We would have got locked up. We would have went to jail if we wasn't vaccinated.
Okay.
And that's just the way I feel. I'm just trying to tell you. And black media won't say nothing about it because it affects the Jewish community.
Well, we're talking about it now. We're actually talking about it now.
I'm just putting it to the forefront because it's just surprising me. I don't hear it on black media, but I mean, people die. But it's in the Jewish community.
I do want to make a note. As you're talking about your feelings about this, I would recommend that you go and you take a look at this wonderful piece that came out in the New York Times. I just read it. It's called My Fellow Hasidic Jews Are Making a Terrible Mistake About Vaccinations. There's a whole piece in the New York Times talking about what's happening in the Hasidic Jewish community and why the decision was made for a number of people from that community to not get vaccinated and why it's actually hit so hard within the New York Orthodox Jewish community. So people are talking about it, and we're talking about it now. So those are some resources for you. Thank you so much, James. I appreciate you. We have Candace on the phone from Maryland. Candace, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dr. K?
I'm doing fine. So they tell me that you are calling to try your hand at Chaopoly.
Oh, yes. I'm pretty confident about this one.
Okay. All right. I'm saying, but I will say I put all my favorite boy bands up in there. I want to be clear.
Oh, okay.
All right. Are you ready? Now, the rules
are
I cannot give you any encouragement, no yes or no. I have to listen to it, and if there's anything wrong, the judges, I have a whole panel of judges, really it's just Justina, will give me a yes or no about whether you win. All right, Candace, I'm rooting for you.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so do you want me to just tell you who they were?
In order, the name of the boy band and the name of the song.
Oh, okay. The Jackson 5, I Want You Back. New Edition, Candy Girl, and It Never Rains in Sunny California, Tony.
And I'm looking up, and the judges say, no, Candace, I'm so sorry.
What?
You got one of them wrong. I can't say which one, but you got two out of three, but you got one of them wrong. So what we're going to do is we're going to put you on hold since you're the first person with two out of three. If nobody gets it right, then you will win the prize, Candace. So hold on, Justina, get your information. I know you got one of them wrong. So that way we'll move on to Maria from Pikesville. Maria, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I've been trying to get in touch with you all week.
I'm so glad you called. Maria, I know you're here to play Chaopoly. Candace just gave you this thing. Come on now.
She didn't. I looked down as I was driving. Thank God I didn't kill anyone.
I'm happy about that.
The first song was Jackson 5, ABC. The second song was New Edition, Candy Girl. And the third song was Tony, Tony, Tony. It never rains in Southern California.
And unfortunately, you got one of them wrong, Maria.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry, folks. I think I got a stumper here. Thank you so much for playing, Maria. You got to name the boy band and the name of the song. You told me it was too easy. I tried to make it a little bit difficult. Let's see if we can get somebody to win at Chaopoly. We have Erica on the phone. Erica's a new caller from Baltimore. Erica, how are you? And welcome to the family.
I'm a winner.
Oh, I know that's right, sister. I know that's right. Well, we just got two winners on the phone, so I'm open for you. I'm open for you, girl. I want you to bring this thing home.
I have it.
All right, I'm listening.
Okay, the first one is the Jackson 5, One More Chance. The second one, New Edition, Candy Girl. And the third, Tony, 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 It Never Rains in Southern California.
And unfortunately, you got one of them wrong. Oh, you got one of them wrong. Erica, but I'm so happy that you called. Now, because you are a new caller, we want to say a special welcome to you.
Thank you.
Just happy that you joined the game and invite you to call back at any time. But I want to ask you a question before you go.
Yes.
What do you think about this principal implementing a dress code for the parents to come pick up their kids?
I'm not opposed to the dress code.
Okay.
I think it's important to set a good example for the youth. And just to be respectful when coming into a public setting, I don't have an issue with it.
I know that's right. So no curlers, no robes, pull your pants up, no torn jeans. She said, the principal said, I don't want to see your underwear when you come in my school.
I certainly don't want to see it either.
Erica, I appreciate you. Folks, we're going to hold it here for just a moment. When we come back, nobody has won Chaopoly. So we're going to continue to play Chaopoly. It's the weekly wrap. Give me a call. Let's put something on the table. And why don't we have a conversation about some topics that matter? Keep it here.
She calls Sister Soupy's funeral. And they all the women, there are about nine women, and they all look like women in my grandmother's prayer meeting group. So whenever I'm obliged to do something, I take that painting, and I look at that painting. There's an empty chair. And I think, now, what would Grandma do? What would she say? I can almost hear her voice say, now, sister, you know what's right. Just do right. You don't really have to ask anybody. The truth is, right may not be expedient. It may not be profitable, but it will satisfy your soul.
Folks, I thought I'd start off with a little bit of Maya Angelou. You know what? In that talk she was giving, she said you should spend out everything you have and you should die empty. That every talent that you've been given, everything that you can do, you should spend it out while you're here. If you can speak, you should be speaking. If you can write, you should be writing. If you can teach, you should be teaching. If you can lead, you should be leading. Even if you are cleaning the streets, cleaning the house, or cleaning up the yard, you should spend it all out and take nothing with you. You know, I just want to die empty, folks. That was so inspiring to me. I wanted to share it with you here on our weekly wrap. 410-319-8888. Give us a call. What's on your mind? And let's play Chaopoly and let's talk about some of these stories that matter. On Facebook Live, Tanya Ray chimed in and she says, you know, I get the teacher's point slightly, but she must know any passive aggressive people because I would test her. I'm picking my child up however I need to at the time. Do you want him picked up or not? I'll have them violating their own dismissal policy because either I'm coming in and I'm picking them up or you're going to send him out on his own while I wait in my car. She's like, you're not going to tell me how to dress to come and get my child or drop my child off. She said, we tried this. How about this? Have a workshop for parents. Send home some correspondence stating why it's inappropriate to come to school looking crazy rather than making it a rule. That's about the principal out in Houston who's made it a rule, a mandate. You ain't coming up in her school to either drop your child off or pick your child up unless you are dressed appropriately. No rollers, no curlers, no robes. She doesn't want to see your underwear. She actually said no torn jeans, folks. Do you know how much torn jeans are going for these days? You can get them for $200. Don't wear those up in her school. She wants you in appropriate professional dress just to drop or pick your child. It's nothing about meeting with the teacher. 410-319-8888. I have Everett on the phone from Catonsville. Everett, how are you?
I'm doing good today, Dr. K.
I'm glad you called. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I wanted to chime in. A gentleman made a comment about why the Jewish people are not getting vaccinated.
Yes.
And I'm going to say that I'm taking a guess that I believe I'm correct, that it has to do with the dietary law, because I'm a Hebrew Israelite myself.
Okay.
And we're not to put anything from an unclean animal in our systems. And the only clean animals are those that chew the cud and have cloven hoofs. And so the medical industry cannot guarantee to us that they're not using products rendered from unclean animals like pigs, horses,
right,
you know, and other animals. So I'm almost certain that's why. And it's also the reason why I don't get vaccinated. And, you know, I understand how that plays out in society. But, you know, we answer to a higher authority.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Thank you for calling, Everett.
Uh-huh.
And when I went and looked it up, there's a lot that's online that talks about the Jewish laws around vaccinations. And that's why I referred James from Sandtown to the New York Times piece, because that New York Times piece actually is someone who is a Hasidic Jew writing about vaccinations and writing about his stance and why he thinks that people in the community should vaccinate their kids, because we see what's happening now, right, with the number of children that are dying. But you weren't vaccinated as a child. So how were you able to go to school? Were you homeschooled as a child? Because, you know, if you're going to public school, you have to be vaccinated.
At that point, I was not. My parents weren't Hebrew Israelites. I didn't, accept my heritage until I was in my 30s.
Okay, which means that you were vaccinated as a child, though, right?
Right, I was.
Right, okay, so you were vaccinated. But now that you are an adult, right, and you have accepted your heritage, which I understand and appreciate, have you not vaccinated your own children?
And unfortunately, I'm probably not the good one to ask because I don't have children.
Okay, okay. That's when it gets, I mean, when you think about it, you know, if I make the decision to not vaccinate my children for whatever reason, whether I accept my heritage or, you know, whatever reason I decide, I'm dealing with these anti-vax moms who tend to, by the way, be very upper class in their beliefs and in their lifestyle. But I say I'm not going to vaccinate my sons. It also means that I need to keep my sons home and homeschool them, right? And I need to be keep my sons away from people that are sick.
Right.
And I need to see also control and contain their environment. Think of how we come into contact just in a store with people who are sick.
Right.
So I think that's a huge, and I would love to hear from anyone who's an anti-vaxxer, but I know there was a concern that vaccinations would cause autism, but so much research has been done to say that that is not the direct cause of autism that I am surprised, actually, when people choose not to do that, living in a place where your child could die from measles, and that's something that we can actually mitigate against. Your child can die from, you know, polio is back now, too?
Right. But unfortunately, you'll probably find that a hard sell. You know, we're commanded to let the Almighty be our fear and our dread.
Well, you know, that The government is now stepping in because they're looking to make it a law that people have to vaccinate. Yep. So you answer to a high authority, but there seems to be another authority out here who's doing something. Yeah. Because if not, you're talking about children dying, right? We're talking about children dying now. Thank you so much, Everett. I appreciate you. Okay, folks, if you are an anti-vaxxer, in other words, if you're someone who does not believe that your children should be vaccinated, I would love to hear from you. It's fascinating to me. It's not the choice that we made. My husband and I made the choice to vaccinate our children. My husband and I were both vaccinated. We talked about it. We researched it. We thought about it. And we made that decision. If you have not vaccinated your children, I'd like to talk with you because there's a measles outbreak. There's a polio outbreak that's happening right now, and children are dying. And it's not to scare you. It's just to have that conversation because I'd like to understand. 410-319-8888. We got a lot of calls online, and they all want to play Chaopoly. I have Sharon on the phone, a new call from Mitchellville, Maryland. Sharon, how are you? And welcome to the family.
Hi, Dr. K. Thank you.
I am so happy to join. Yes, you know what? So here's what's interesting, that everybody is falling short on Chaopoly.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-oh, so I'm pulling for you. I am pulling for you, Sharon.
Okay, I was so engrossed in the conversation, as usual, that I hope I can remember my answer. I want you back, the Jackson 5, Candy Girl, New Edition, and It Never Rains, Tony.
Unfortunately, the judges are telling me no, Sharon. No. You got one of them incorrect. But I will ask you this. Do you think that...
Not even 2 out of 3?
You got 2 out of 3. I know. And I can give you a consolation prize. If nobody gets it by 4, we got to move on. So I'm going to put your name on the list. But I do want to ask you a question about these anti-vaxxers. Do you think that the government should mandate that parents must vaccinate their children? Or is that really a decision you make at home and you take on the whole lifestyle with that?
Well, I can understand the religious aspects of those who have issues with getting vaccinations, but the thought of having epidemics where people die, you know, make me think of...
I can't really hear. I'm going to have you hold on, Sharon. Your line is a little bit staticky. We have Sabria on the phone. It's another new caller from Mitchellville. I may be pronouncing your name incorrectly. Is it Sabria or Sabaya?
No, it's Sabir.
Like, Sabir.
Dude, you drink Sabir from Mitchellville, Maryland.
How you doing?
I'm listening, but my first time caller.
I know that's right, brother. Welcome to the family.
And Dr. K, let me tell you, this has to be the... I can't believe that folks didn't get this Chaopoly. It has to be the easiest one you've ever done. It has to be.
And I'm stumping everybody. I am getting so much joy from this, Sabir. I'm sure you understand how I'm just dying laughing, thinking people told me it was too easy. I thought I made it easier, and it's actually harder. I love it.
Dr. King, no consolation prize after my call. Let me tell you. No consolation prize. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Number one, from Gary, Indiana, the Jackson 5, I want you back. Number two, New Edition from Boston, Massachusetts. That's Candy Girl. And I'm not sure where Tony is from, but Tony, It Never Rains in Southern California.
There you go, my brother. Everybody kept messing. They called it Sunny California.
Southern California.
Come on. And then they changed the Jackson 5 song to ABC. Come on.
That was funny. And I got one more chance for the Jackson 5, one more chance. I'm like, Lord, what happened?
Well, you have won. So, Sabir, not only have you won a copy of August Wilson Fences, dude, you have won bragging rights, right?
I do. Especially with your show. And I love you, Dr. K. And you do a beautiful job at what you do. And just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Sabir. Hold on 1 second. Justina's going to get your information. Oh, folks, we got a winner. And we also have our online winner. I just want to make a note for everybody who's listening that online, Senator Jill P. Carter, in addition to running this whole thing, making sure that folks are doing their job, lifting up the rights for people, working on our behalf, and just going strong as a sister in politics, Jill P. Carter also found time to play Chaopoly and win. Jackson 5, I Want You Back, New Edition Candy Girl, Tony, It Never Rains in Southern California. So Jill P. Carter, when you send up your address, why don't you tell us what child you'd like to donate it to? I have a book called Separate is Never Equal, and I'd love to donate that to a child of your choice, Senator Jill P. Carter. Let's do some more weekly rap, folks. I want to talk about some of the things that you've been thinking about. I have Lynette Trix on the phone, a new call from Baltimore. Did I mispronounce your name? I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It's Lynetrix.
Hey, Lynetrix, how are you?
Just fine.
So let me ask you, what do you think about these anti-vaxxers? Should they be forced to vaccinate their children?
To be honest, I feel like it's a choice.
Okay.
I don't feel like we should be forced to do, you know, what's best for our family. And basically, we do that on, you know, how we were raised. If I was vaccinated, so more than likely, I vaccinate my kids.
Right.
So.
But I'm just wondering, in this particular situation, who's speaking up for the child, right? If we think about it.
Right.
Babies can only do whatever we expose them to. If we have children dying from measles and polio, it seems now.
Mm-hmm.
The government is saying that maybe they need to step in and force people to vaccinate their babies.
Now, looking at it from that standpoint, I guess I would agree with that. You know, we don't want to harm other people or put children in harm's way.
Because the child's never going to be able to go outside. At least, I mean, people say, well, you know, my child will just get better. It's not about a four-year-old. We're talking about babies here. And you know how measles... The fact that measles, as the whole idea of the germ itself,
mm-hmm.
can infect surfaces. Like, you can pick up measles off of surfaces.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's so horrible when you think about it. But I am someone who chose to vaccinate, so I don't know the other side, and that's what I want to get through. Thank you so much, Lynetrix. Folks, I don't know the other side of not vaccinating your children. I think it's interesting. And I'm more than willing to have the conversation. I think what we will do, I'm looking at Justina, we're going to reach out to some anti-vaxxers. A number of them, for a while, were doing interviews, but now with all this pushback, they're not doing as many interviews as possible as people would like them to, because we have questions about what does that mean. It's an interesting conversation. There are other things on the table as well. There's a principal who has mandated a dress code aimed at parents. This is a black woman. And she's saying, I'm just going to be very clear, no one can enter the building or be on school premises wearing a satin cap or bonnet on their head for any reason. She said no pajamas, no leggings. She said you cannot wear a shower cap on your head. So now, a number of parents at this school, African-American parents, have pushed back. They're like, you know, if it's misty outside, I have a hair bonnet on. Why is that anybody's business? Like, you know, the principal may have time to get her hair done up every week. I don't. This whole idea of this move that she's making has gotten people so upset. She's also banned not just from the school. Listen to this. She's banned from school grounds. Any man wearing an undershirt, if parents are wearing saggy pants or shorts, they're banned. Revealing tops, you're banned. Torn jeans showing lots of skin, you're banned. And if you have dresses that are up to your behind, you are banned from the school grounds. Principal's going hard. What do you think about that? 410-319-8888. I have Lawrence on the phone. Lawrence from Glen Burnie. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great.
So what do you think about this with these parents?
Well, I used to be a former retired building mechanic from Baltimore City Public Schools. And I'm not going to name the schools, but I've seen parents coming in looking like they were going to a club, you know, dresses on. And I'm married, and I had to take a second look sometimes. But if my mother came into the school to see me and she dressed like that, I think I would hide and say, oh, that ain't my mother. Mm. And it's despicable. It's sad.
So then do you agree that she's mandated it, that it's now you're being banned from the school and school grounds if you break this code?
I mean, you have to be respectable if you're going into an environment that represents the family. I mean, when you go out in the street, you got to represent the family, your husband, the household, and everything. I mean, come on, you got to have some coof about yourself.
Right. Okay, so you agree with the principal, and there should be a policy.
Yeah.
You need to dress a certain way to drop your child off. Pick your child up and come into the building.
Right, but it doesn't have to be that strict. Right. But come on, I've also seen parents come in there with pajama pants on, look like they've never taken them off or never washed them. Come on, be respectful, be clean. And if you got something on your head because you got your hair done, if it's raining out, when you get in the building and you know you got to represent yourself as well as your household, take it off your head. Be respectful.
Okay, all right. I appreciate you, Lawrence. Folks, should schools have a mandated dress code, not for the students, but for us, for the parents? I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm down with you telling me how to dress to come pick up my own child. Now, I have common sense. I know what I should be wearing and what works for me. I have common sense for what works for me. I don't extend my common sense to anyone else because you wear what works for you. But when you start talking about you're now mandated, because listen to what this principal said. It's not just about the saggy pants. So she talked about that. But you're going to tell me that my dress is too tight. My dress is too short. Folks, you're now policing my clothes? Because there's something very sexist about my dress is too tight. For whom? Who is being affected? My dress is too short. For whom? Why are you telling me that my dress is bothering someone and I'm coming to pick my child up? I'm sorry. To me, that's one of the problems we have when we start talking about rape culture. And they said, well, the one reason to get rid of rape culture is because men shouldn't see women dressed this way. You are tempting the man. No. How about let's raise our sons and then talk to our men about not being racist and people can wear what they want. I'm just throwing this out here. 410-319-8888. We have Adam on the phone, a new call from Towson. Adam, how are you? Welcome to the family.
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Glad to have you.
So I will admit that the rule itself is a little bit draconian. Because, the dress will be too tight. But more important, wearing a t-shirt, I'm a person that loves graphic tees. So if it has something on it, I'm going to want to wear it.
Right.
But I can see the extent, I can see the reason why,
Okay.
I'm not here whether to say she's right or wrong, but I say looking at it from a different perspective, kids, if it's an elementary school, are sponges. And if they see the adults can dress a certain way, that's kind of like what they see in the future, And so I would say from my perspective listening, ease up a little bit, hey, if I'm coming in a jeans and a t-shirt and I'm looking like, pretty casual, maybe if anything, I just got done, maybe doing some light yard work, then okay, then that's fine. But at the same time, it's like, if it's something, that's way out of hand, like you say, everyone's common sense is different.
Right.
But, if it's something that's way out of hand, think about it. Think about what the kids see constantly,
right.
Right. If every day I see someone dressing up like brother said before, like going to the club, you think that's normal.
Right.
Because, what I learned is that with kids, it's not necessarily what my mom does or my dad does that imprints on me. It's what my friend's mom
right,
does
there you go.
And my friend's dad does. Ah, that's cool now. But that's the position I look at it from.
But let me ask you this. Does it change for you given the fact that this is a high school? This is not an elementary school. She's implementing a dress code for high school parents.
And so, and that's always interesting to me because I always think to myself, where is that? There's a couple points of pivotal influence, right?
Right.
And so, is it at high school or middle school? Because elementary school, sometimes some things can kind of go over your head
right.
because you don't really register it. But with middle school and high school, you've seen enough to kind of understand that's fine. So I think that, at high school, it can be very, especially from the black community, we imprint on the young as much as, I'm a millennial, I'm in the millennial category. So as much as, we kind of get, talked about. We do look up at the older generation
right.
because all we have is a reference.
Right, I see
and
that.
So when we see, at a high school position, we're going to end up looking like, you dress some sort of way, so I can dress some sort of way.
So maybe it's getting them ready for the world that we want
exactly.
professional. So, okay, I get that. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you. I have Inez on the phone from Maryland. Inez, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for having me. I wanted to speak on the vaccine
yes.
Issue. I do believe that the government should step in because many people who are going to be affected by other kids, it's just too many people that can be affected by kids not having vaccinations. For instance, people in nursing homes, their resistance are really low. And they're just laying there waiting for some disease to jump on them. Right. And you see these little Jewish kids running through the halls all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to come up with a way to stop the children from going into the nursing home.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Because with measles, now, the word I was looking for earlier, couldn't think of it. Measles is highly contagious. You can get it off a contaminated surface, skin to skin contact. Listen to this. You can shake my hand, and if you have measles and I'm not vaccinated, I can be affected by just shaking hands.
Exactly.
Or hugging someone. It's highly contagious.
And when they're having activities, they have the kids in there playing and they're rubbing on them, you know, they're being friendly to their children. You know, and
children touch each other
really
all the time. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much, Inez. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I have Gene on the phone from Pikesville. Gene, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Can't you get some?
Can't hear you, Gene. Yes. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm sorry, my phone beeped.
Go ahead.
I was just saying you could get the same thing from the common cold, can't you? And so what I was looking at was the 10th Amendment, the 11th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment.
Okay.
And so the 10th Amendment, of course, decides the difference between the Federalist and the state's rights, right? So this could be a state's rights issue in the sense that should the states decide this?
Right.
And then on the other hand, if it's going to affect everybody, then don't people have the right to sue by the 11th Amendment because maybe it's a constitutional issue and maybe it needs to go to the Constitution? And, of course, the 14th Amendment is equal protection
and
equal rights. So, you know, we know how we can solve the problem, but do we have the will to use the things that are available to us to solve the problem?
But is this where the government should step in? Like you're saying, the government, again, we're just talking about it.
But which
should
government?
The government step in? No, just talk about the state-level government.
Okay.
Let's just go with 10th Amendment, right? So let's say this is a state's rights because we know often with the federal government, they immediately push a lot of these things to the state level. If you're having a problem in your state, it becomes a state-level issue.
So unless it's a violation of the Constitution.
Right. And in this particular instance, violating the Constitution because I do have the freedom to express my religion as stated by the First Amendment.
Yes.
That Congress shall not make a law about the ways in which I express my religion. And I'm saying that for religious reasons or moral reasons, I'm deciding not to vaccinate my child.
Yep, it sounds like a test for the Supreme Court, doesn't it?
Oh, man, this is going to be something. Thank you so much, Gene. This is going to be something, folks. I have Marguerite on the phone, a new caller from Randallstown. Marguerite, how are you? And welcome to the show and the family, actually.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. So on Weekly Wrap, you can bring up any topic onto the table.
Well, I wanted to speak on the dress decorum for adults going into the school.
Yes.
I absolutely have no problem with what that administrator has done. It's a shame that it has had to come to that where people don't use common sense, in my opinion, and I understand my common sense is maybe different from someone else's, but the example that you set, you're telling the kids that it's okay to go out and dress this way. I absolutely have no problem with it. It's just sad that it has had to come to that. For her to have done that, there must have been a very serious issue.
Well, the one issue I will say that really pushed things over the edge for her was a parent came in trying to enroll her child. She was wearing a headscarf and a T-shirt dress. The principal had her removed from the school.
A headscarf?
And a T-shirt dress.
What do you mean a headscarf?
She had
a scarf or a bonnet?
This woman here had a headscarf. They called it a headscarf in the article. But the principal included bonnets in her description. She doesn't want bonnets. She said headscarves or bonnets. She does not want them in the school. what if your head is right? I got a wrap here. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have you hold on, Marguerite. I'm going to come back and talk to you after the break. Folks, got to take a quick break. When I come back, James, Jamila, Jesse, Nikita, Marguerite, hold on. Let's finish this conversation. Vaccinations and dress codes for parents. We're having an interesting one. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us.